Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome in. Another week. Another week in isolation and quarantine. And we're doing it again. What's up, guys? How we doing?
Good morning. Happy Monday.
Oh, it's glorious, glorious Monday. Beautiful.
Wait a minute.
Outside.
Where are you at?
I'm in the compound.
Oh. Okay. So this is a new venture for you.
Yes, it is. Here we are. I believe we're the first show to do it where we all went remote.
All three. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, I mean, it should make things interesting for Jim Louth, right?
Back there at studio?
Yeah, but listen, there's nobody better to handle that than Jim and T-Bone. So
I agree.
We've got it on lockdown. We're ready to go. We're all
this
at home.
Because today, I think 63 degrees. I think Dennis Knutson, our head engineer, who also has a 38-foot boat.
Large boat.
Good engineering.
Big vessel.
Money, huh? A lot of money in engineering. Today's the wax day for the boat. So he said he's taking the compound down. He's going to buff it first, get all the oxidation out. Then he's going to shine that sucker up and get it ready to be put in the water.
He's been working.
He's a captain.
Yeah. I mean, he's also been working like 80 hours a week for the last month.
I think he's actually been sleeping on the boat. Yeah. Yeah, if anybody deserves it.
Yeah, there hasn't been an hour. I mean, the building is our building where the station is, where the studios are at the Town Fair Tire Studios have been pretty vacant other than some of us being there. But Dennis has been there, as has Polonsky, as has all the engineering guys. They've all been there.
Charlie, all of them.
It's like almost too many of them there. Like, distance yourselves. Get away from me. They've been there throughout this entire process. So here we are on a Monday. Phone lines are open, as always, for you, 617-779-0985. Zoe, how did you feel about President Trump's press conference over the weekend after having a conference call with all the commissioners?
Yep.
He talked to all the pro sports commissioners. I even think, like, MLS and WNBA and sort of those other leagues that you'd say, but those are not major four sports. How did they get an invite? Even they got an invite to the call.
NASCAR, I got a good chuckle that Vince McMahon was on the call, too, for WWE.
Right. WWE gets on the call. What is this?
Into the poor lacrosse guys like Paul Rabel and people that run the lacrosse, professional lacrosse, weren't on the call. Yeah, because we got to get the cannons there, right? We're concerned about the cannon season and everything.
Right.
You're in Quincy, you got them right in your
backyard.
Get
Rucker on the line.
Yeah, Rucker's got to be like his hat on, like, what's up, you know?
But the big thing that was said there is that the NFL should start on time in September. That this was the thing that was, you know, part of that conversation and then part of the press conference. So go ahead.
Well, of all the professional sports that were on the call, that's the one that has the best chance to start on time, right? So if you're going to pick one and say this one's going to start on time, and I think the NFL threw a lot of things. Another instance where they got a horseshoe up their rear. Like, they got a chance to potentially really play this season. Say we flatten this curve, as we've been talking about each and every day in every press conference and everything you read about flattening the curve and staying inside, and that's what we've been doing. You hope, and I think that's the best thing here that you could take out of this, that it gives them hope. It gives the professional football players an actual target date So they get their asses in line, get in gear. You need a date. You need something out there to train. When your condition is a professional athlete, you know, it's a step-by-step process. I think the two new coaches, guys like Mike McCarthy down there in Dallas, today would have been their first day, you know, in the building with their new teams. So a couple teams would have started today. But it's not going to happen. The NFL draft is going to happen, you know, the 23rd, the 24th, the 25th of April. But it's going to be virtual. So I think it's going to be fascinating. I'll be watching just to see, you know, the way they're going to do this. And we're going to get into this throughout the course of the show. But, hey, the NFL's got the best chance to play out of anybody, right? That's at least what I think, because it's the most distant. Everybody else is in the middle of their season. Baseball's just starting. They have 162 games. And if the NFL doesn't start on time, I think you do have the ability to shift it a couple weeks and maybe go down to 12 games. Who knows? But I think the NFL has the best chance to play out of any of these leagues.
Or have the most normal semblance of a season.
Even if
it's not completely normal, as you're saying, maybe it's got to be shortened by a few games. But if out of those four, we're not going to do WNBA or MLS or even Major
League
Lacrosse.
We're talking sports people care about.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm talking about the four sports that are the most important in this town and most major American cities. I think you're right. The NFL's got the best shot of having a season of some sort.
As bad as they think their offseason is, or, oh, my God, we can't function this way. Or, we've got to be able to scout. We've got to be able to hold meetings. We got to be able to test guys from a time standpoint. We've got to see if a guy can throw. We have to do a physical. No, you could actually find out that you could probably work from home and get through this and still be able to salvage your season somehow, or salvage the draft process and the free agency process. I saw Joe Burrow have a tweet the other day, and he said, the most disappointing thing about this, yeah, I wanted to take the field one last time with my LSU teammates, and it was supposed to be his workout, right? You know, the LSU pro day. And he said, it's sad that didn't happen. I think a lot of kids are going through that right now. So there's a lot of things up in the air right now, but the NFL is lucky right now that their season is still far enough off that if we come around on this, they may have a shot to play.
I mean, it is, but they're going to run into roadblocks, and they're going to run into roadblocks in individual states. So as enthusiastic as that call may have been with the pro sports commissioners, I think even if the NFL gets their season the way that, or close to the way that they would want it to be, I think they're going to have a problem with fans at the games.
I still think
we're going to go back to what we were talking about in the beginning of this, when the Ivy League was the first to say, we're not going to play with fans. And then LeBron was asked about the possibility of not playing with fans. And that sort of became an idea in the beginning, which was quickly realized that was not going to be a workable plan in the near future because of the spread of the virus. But here's the governor of California over the weekend, who was asked on the same day, this is Gavin Newsom, who was asked about sort of that optimism that there would be a normal start time of the NFL season in September. This is the governor of California. This is a state where there are many pro sports teams. I'd have to count them all up between the four major sports.
Sure.
But just based on football alone, they've got two teams in L.A. They've got, the Raiders just left, so they're not there. But they've got the 49ers. They've got teams that are playing in their state and have stadiums in their state. And here's what the governor of that state is saying.
The president today was meeting with the heads of the sports leagues, and all the reports are that he is urging them to resume playing as soon as possible, including starting the NFL season on time late this summer with fans in the stands. Do you believe that California is going to be in a position where you will feel comfortable with 80,000 people going to football games in California in August and September?
I'm not anticipating that happening in the state. Let me tell you why, Ron. We all have seen the headlines of the last couple of days in Asia where they were opening up certain businesses. Now they're starting to roll back those openings because they're starting to see some spread. There's a boomerang. One has to be very cautious here. One has to be careful not to overpromise. It's interesting. I have a lot of friends that work in Major League Baseball and then in the NFL. They've been asking me, in fact, a well-known athlete just asked me, a football player, if he expects to come back. I said I would move very cautiously in that expectation. So, look, I'm not here to second-guess anybody, but I am here to say this. Our decision on that basis, at least here in the state of California, will be determined by the facts, will be determined by the health experts, will be determined by our capacity to meet this moment, bend the curve, and have the appropriate community surveillance and testing to confidently determine whether or not that's appropriate. And right now, I'm just focusing on the immediate, but that's not something I anticipate happening in the next few months.
All right, so that's the governor of California saying, no, not in my state, and he doesn't anticipate that. Obviously, things could change. I thought this, as soon as I heard him say this, I didn't think about the NFL. Do you know who I thought of, so?
Who?
Major League Baseball. That means California is closed to Major League Baseball.
If they think that they're not going to have an NFL, you know, ready season, you know, to put people in their buildings or their stadiums in September, then baseball's dead.
Right. And baseball has said that they will not, the players have said and have already agreed to, they've bargained it with the league, if fans are not allowed in and there are still these orders in place that prevent certain gatherings of certain sizes, they're not going to play the games. They're out.
Hey, we talked about the health expert for the National Football League last week, too, where he said, hey, we're not putting people in our buildings. We're not opening them up until we have, you know, this wide testing and everybody can be tested and be back and be cleared of this. So I think everybody will defer eventually here to health experts. But I think you need some hope, some target dates to look at and say, okay, hopefully we will have that open. That's our goal. I mean, you got to put it out there in front of people. And here's your other concern, these other leagues. Like, at what point is hockey sitting there, or NBA saying, like, our guys have been out a long time. How can we force them to go back at the end of July or, say, August, you know? At what point is there a cutoff to say just scrap the season, let's get ready for next year?
Right, and you know, you mentioned baseball as having probably affected by this due to the sheer number of teams that they have. But I look at it for, like you just said, Zoe, for hockey and basketball, especially in the state of California, where there's a ton of teams there too, and they have to be thinking, yeah, if we don't get it started, then it impacts the start of next season. It impacts everything that we want to do. And quite frankly, anyone who tries to put a timeline on this thing, they should be reluctant to do it, because they don't want to end up looking foolish later on because they didn't adhere to that timeline. And for the president or the governor, for that matter, to say, no, I don't anticipate that. Well, nobody anticipated any of this,
right,
you know,
right.
It just,
like Bergeron with the collapsed lung, or these guys with broken clavicles, shoulder surgery, wrist surgery, thumb surgery. The hockey guys need a good couple months to heal before they start skating again. And I remember when football started, you know, in August, we get to September and you talk about the hockey starting to ramp back up again. Like, that's not that far away. At some point, I'd be more concerned. Hey, guys, we got to start thinking about next year than jamming or freaking cramming our season in right now.
Well, there's already developments on that front. Brian Windhorst says something on the NBA. You will actually hear that report and hear what he has to say about what the NBA is thinking. At the end of last week, we were floating the idea of Vegas as a place for everyone to get together and finish out the NBA year. That may not be happening. You'll hear from Brian Windhorst of ESPN and what the latest is in that league. 617-779-0985. Your reaction to hearing the possibility of an NFL season starting on time. All of that's on the way.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What's the feeling around the NBA about the potential of not having the season resume?
Ryan, it's been a bad week. I think there was optimism about progress a week ago. And some things that have happened this week have turned it south about what could happen. A big factor was what happened in China, where they halted the return of their league. And one of the big reasons is because they really believe that they just tested the players' temperature all the time, that it would work. And the Chinese are finding that asymptomatic carriers are causing maybe a second wave in that country, and they have just slammed the brakes on sports. And the talks between the players' union and the league this week, I've talked to both sides of this issue, and it is clear that the NBA is angling to set up a deal that enables them to shut the season down. Now, they don't have to do that yet, and the way they're negotiating, they're leaving themselves an option either way. But they are not having talks about how to restart the league. They are having financial talks about what would happen if the season shuts down. And I think there's a significant amount of pessimism right now.
Brian Windhorst, ESPN, with a report that it was not a good week for the NBA last week. They've now begun discussions on shutting the season down and bringing an end to the NBA season for probably all the reasons that Zoe just said. At what point do you say, this is foolish? This is a fool's errand, trying to figure out a way to get this season completed. We should be focused on trying to get back on time in the fall, which I don't blame them for, because even if they were able to play games, that would be a really strange way of playing games. It would, if they didn't have fans in the building, if they were playing in small gyms, if it were the ballroom situation that would be going on in Vegas, if that were to play out. It would be strange. I mean, we'd like it because we'd have something. The sports fans, you'd have something to watch, you'd have something to talk about, but it definitely wouldn't feel the same. You can't tell me that an NBA champion who's crowned in an empty arena is somehow worth the same as what it would be in the course of a typical season. So I don't blame them for trying to shut it down and trying to get back in the fall, which I think will be challenging by itself. Forget everything else that's already happened. I think getting back in the fall will be a challenge, whether it be because the virus is surging again or they're running into local issues where governors are saying, no, I'm still banning these gatherings, like the governor in California indicated he may still be doing come September for the NFL. So I just think logistically there's a ton of issues right now for everybody.
Especially with these governors, too, and what you're going through now, like down in Georgia, opening the beaches. Like, if you're going to let these guys govern their own states and, you know, not have authority over them, then, you know, how do you give that mandate across the country? Like, okay, everybody's going to play. Okay, all the states are open. All the stadiums are open. We're going on with life as usual.
But you can't do it.
Can't.
You're not going to be able to do it. And so much has already been left up to the states.
Right.
And so the states are making the calls. The governors are making the calls. If you live in a state with a good governor like we do, you know what? Things are pretty well organized here, I would say. You live in Georgia, you're effed.
Like, yeah.
That's what it's coming down to right now. And I don't think that will be any different come the fall. So what? You got to start looking for a spot to play your games in one select state where the governor is going to let you do it? Is that going to be how they try and get around it? Good luck.
Yeah,
I think logistically there are still all these issues to get through. So the NBA, wait, and by the way, did you hear that part of the report about the plan in China was just to check temperatures?
Like, yeah, what?
Was that really their plan? Like, that was going to be how they figured this all out?
You see them getting off the subway there, and they got the scanners out, and it's like, okay, next one, go ahead, you're clear. All right, what if I'm like running through and I'm running a little warm that day, like 100? What you gotta tell me I can't get through?
What if you're positive? What if you're carrying and you're asymptomatic?
For two
no
weeks.
Fever, no what cough. If you,
yes.
None of that stuff.
And by the way, I don't know if you saw any of last night's press conference at the White House, but one of the questions to Dr. Fauci was, you know, what percentage of people are asymptomatic, and how much would this number grow if we could test everybody in the United States? Not to mention the fact that people who are presumed to have it still can't all get tests. I mean, there are people that have it that can't get tested and are being told just to stay home and ride it out until you need to have, you know, until you need more medical attention and need to go to an emergency room. So there's that factor of it, but there's all these people that have it and don't even know they have it.
Right.
And, you know, so Dr. Fauci said last night that number could be anywhere from 25 to 50% are asymptomatic. There's a study out of Iceland that says half the people that have it don't know they have it, that it's only showing up in half of the people that are contracting it.
It's unbelievable.
So there's, you know, I mean, when
you hear that stuff and you sit there,
you can basically say, if, you know, if you were to know, like, all the confirmed hospitalized cases or people that have, you know, even if they don't have a positive test, they've reported they have it, and you're still not testing the entire population, you could just double the number and say, yeah, well, there's another double that amount of people that are out there that have it and don't even know it.
That's the scariest thing is
yes.
You could have an entire family affected by it. We're sitting here. We're listening to the same thing last night. There's four of us looking at each other like, what if we have it? We don't know if we have it.
You might. You
know, if we're on the other end of the spectrum is what I'm saying. But that's the fear with this thing. And, you know, follow one of my state reps here locally, and he said the frustrating thing about our state, what's not being reported is from a number standpoint is the people that have had it and have beaten it. He says, so we're getting all the new cases, so we're numbering all those. They're logging all of those, and they're logging the deaths. But what we're not getting is the people that beat it, and the people that do beat it, back to our discussion last week, what is the true answer? Is, okay, do you have immunity to it? Can you now go function like a normal person out in the community? Or do you need to stay back? Can you give that virus to somebody again? Like, there are so many questions with this thing that's up in the air that we're going to be on lockdown for a while, man. I don't think our kids are going back to school. I really don't. I know we're picking that May 4th date as the next potential thing, but the way this thing's trending, that doesn't look good, that May 4th date.
Hardy, that plan that you talked to us about on Friday from was the guy at MIT or Harvard? Where was he from? Harvard?
Oh, yeah, the 6 ways to get rid of this thing in 30 days.
Yeah, was it 30 days or up to 10 weeks? You know, there's like some moving timelines in there.
Yeah,
I went and read it this weekend. It feels like it would be a good plan, except none of it's realistic. But it's a plan. Like, it is a plan. It's going to be near impossible to implement, but at least there's an idea there and a plan and a timeline and trying to do. I don't know what's our timeline now. Like, what's the plan? Do we have a plan?
It keeps moving, the timeline.
It just doesn't feel like there is one. So I think that goes to Hardy's point earlier that whether it be the president or a governor, anticipating anything at this point feels like, I don't know, it feels sort of empty.
Right, because this thing changes. And by the way, you know, back to what they're doing in other states, and you mentioned Georgia, and, Fred and Rich were talking a lot about the religious services that were going on in a lot of states and how some governors are questioning whether or not they have the authority to stop religious assembly. All of these things are just going to extend it. And it boggles my mind how not that, you know, anybody had a perfect understanding of this thing and it continues to change. Having said that, you see what's happened in other cities. You see what's happened in other states. We saw Michigan as one of the few states without a case, while virtually every other state other than West Virginia had at least one confirmed case of coronavirus earlier in March. Now Detroit is one of the hot spots. Do they know how it got there? Do they know how it started? No. So these other states where they're not doing anything, like in Iowa or in other states down south where they're still allowing to some extent some religious assembly, their common sense tells them, well, we don't have a problem here. Well, nobody had a problem. This was not a problem anywhere else. And then the problem ends up finding you, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. There may be something where you can pinpoint and go back, and if you had a crystal ball, you could look and see who the patient zero was in each state. But it could be a variety of people coming in at around the same time. And to think that you are somehow immune from it just because you've got an artificial border out there in between your state and another state is just foolish. And by them not adhering to what the president is saying and what every health expert is saying on a national level and on a global level, you say, no, we don't have a problem here. We're not going to do it. Well, it's just going to make this drag out longer because every one of these states has either a professional team or it has a number of college teams that are going to want to participate. And if any of these schools or teams or anything where it's going to require some travel and an assembly of a large number of people, if they don't adhere to it now, it's just going to draw it out, and it pushes that timeline back farther and farther and farther.
So let's take a poll among the three of us right now. NBA, do they continue their season? Do they finish? Yes or no?
I think they cancel their season.
I think they're done.
I think they're done. I think the same is true of the NHL. Do we agree?
I think the NHL is way ahead of the NBA because I think the skating aspect of it is a little more difficult than just getting out there than running around. Like, those guys got to get their legs up and running.
Yeah, all slightly, right. Slightly, you know, quicker finish to the NHL season. The way it, you know, plays out on the calendar. I know how, depending on how long series go, that changes into the postseason. But they're just a tiny bit further along, and they're, you know, set to have a tiny bit earlier finish point. And so the NHL, I would put in the same camp.
All right, baseball. What do we think happens with baseball?
I think baseball plays in June, and they shorten up their season.
I think baseball is going to need to go back to their players and get them to agree with to play without fans. If they're going to have a season, they're going to need to do that. And I think there are some ideas floated about maybe playing in the Cactus League and playing out there in Arizona and trying to, you know, play games in small stadiums where fans are not going to be allowed in. And I think players in Major League Baseball, when they're faced with you either have a season or you don't, they might come around and say, fine, we'll do it. And you might see some short, you know, two and a half month baseball season before they play some playoffs. You might. I think they've got a shot. I don't think it's dead yet for baseball. But I think we all agree what we said off the top today, and that is the NFL's got the best shot at having something. They do. And that may be without fans, but the NFL has the best shot at having some sort of season. And I think they're going to try and capitalize on that. And I think Mike Florio's got some details that you might find interesting as a fan. Maybe it excites you as a fan. But the NFL,
it's exciting.
I think the NFL sees some blood in the water, and they're going to try and pounce on it and fill that sports void that we will all be suffering from. We'll tell you the details from Mike Florio. We'll do it coming up after Headlines with Hardy.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
One has to be very cautious here. One has to be careful not to overpromise. It's interesting. I have a lot of friends that work in Major League Baseball and then in the NFL. They've been asking me, in fact, a well-known athlete just asked me, a football player, if he expects to come back. I said, I would move very cautiously in that expectation. So, look, I'm not here to second-guess anybody, but I am here to say this. Our decision on that basis, at least here in the state of California, will be determined by the facts, will be determined by the health experts, will be determined by our capacity to meet this moment, bend the curve, and have the appropriate community surveillance and testing to confidently determine whether or not that's appropriate.
Again, that is the governor of California over the weekend, Gavin Newsom, and his thoughts on how to get sports back up and running. Widespread testing, but not in the event that we're still not able to congregate in large groups. And I think that might be where we're headed in the next couple of months, where you're allowed to go back out. You're allowed to be around other people again. You're not being told strictly to stay home, but that there's going to be some real vigilance to it. You know, you start hearing about wearing masks now on a regular basis and how that will become a part of daily life. And again, not gathering in large groups, not having sporting events or not having concerts or things of that nature, but able to move a little bit more freely while taking precaution. I think that's probably where we're going to end up going soon, but I still think that would be bad news for sports. We all agree here on this show, the NFL has the best shot at having some sort of a season. With or without fans, that will remain to be seen. But Mike Florio has this in his mailbag on Pro Football Talk over the weekend. He says, I believe that the NFL will do everything in its power to have football this year, even if it happens in empty stadiums or with much smaller crowds than usual. I also believe that high school and college football will not happen. I agree with him on that. How do you guys feel about that?
High school and college football will not happen?
Yes.
Well, if you're going to play one, you're going to play the rest.
What do you mean?
If the NFL's playing, college is going to play.
I'm not sure of that. I think it's a little different when you're not an employee and the NCAA is going to take on some liability in this.
And there are factors with, you know, the student athletes and all that, but I've always been I guess since the start of this and since the conversation has been going on, a little confused about the disparity between college football and the NFL. And they're talking about, you know, moving one to the spring and doing this. And I realize with travel back and forth for the college players, that can add into it. But at the root of this is still whether or not it's safe to gather in large groups. And if it's safe enough to gather in large groups, whether it's for classes, for concerts, for restaurants, then it should be safe for college football. Now, the lead-up time is what impacts these sports, and baseball is one that we've talked about too, where they've said they need a month before they can start playing games again. But for, you know, college football, do they need more time in the summer than the NFL gets? I mean, why would one be affected and not the other?
Well, I also think you've got to question whether or not colleges are even going to go back to campuses or else they're going to stick with what they've done this semester. You've got to remember, schools at the university level are much better equipped to take all of their classes and put them online. Right. They're better equipped to do that than any other educational institution because the overwhelming majority of them already offer and have significant offerings online. Okay, they've got the infrastructure in place to say, you're not coming back to campus, you're not moving into dorms together, we're going to give this another semester and see where we're at. So I think there's a question as to whether or not college campuses even welcome their students back in the fall. And so I think when you start hearing ideas like split seasons or playing it next spring, I think that those people that are, you know, in and around college campuses already see that writing on the wall, that they're going to have some serious issues to deal with. And I think with high school, you know, you could see sports be put on hold for a while. So I don't disagree with Florio. Let me just finish his paragraph here. He says, if that happens with no high school and no college football, it gives the NFL a way to make back some of its lost ticket revenue by televising games on Friday night and throughout the day on Saturday every week if the NFL chooses to do that. Consider this for one moment, Florio writes. Instead of having 5 broadcast windows per week, the normal ones that we have now, which are Thursday night, Sunday during the day, Sunday night, Monday night. I mean, the normal windows that we're accustomed to. He says the NFL could now all of a sudden end up with 9. Thursday night, Friday night, 3 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, and Monday night. Which means the 1 o'clock window, the 4 o'clock window, and the 8 o'clock window on Sunday. You've now also have that on Saturday. You play Thursday night football, you play Friday night football, 3 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, and then also we still have the Monday night window, which means you would have football in the NFL all but 2 days a week. Tuesdays and Wednesdays would be the no NFL days. You would have games being played 5 of the 7 days every single week. They would be able to make up the money that they would lose on the gate if they're not able to have fans in the building. And they could almost double their television revenue for the year. Their ratings would go up because they'd be the only game in town. And they would absolutely crush it, even if they had no fans in the building. And the NFL could pull that off. I think they can.
And I think you have to look at the age of the player, too. Like you mentioned the NFL, you're working now. You're an employee. This is your job. This is your livelihood. So you're going to work out on your own. I go back to the stuff Brian Kelly said, head coach of Notre Dame, when I talked about this a week ago. He goes, we need 6 weeks prior to the start of a season because we don't know what kids do what. You got a range of 18 to 22-year-old kids, and you wonder about the maturity level of some of the kids where some of these kids just sit home, eat chips, and play video games all day, get out of shape. He goes, we got to get the kids in shape. Our strength and conditioning people need to get these kids for 6 weeks, and then it goes to the medical part where we got to clear them for practice, then we got to ramp up practice. And then even take it back a step in high school where you're dealing from, you know, kids from age 16 to 18. So with no maturity level whatsoever, they're not going to go out there and run the streets or run hills on their own and run sprints unless your dad's a coach. So that's part of the problem I think you look at with the sports. If you just wait and said, okay, now let's go. But Oh, Hardy too, though. Like, if you could play pro ball, why wouldn't you be able to play college ball? Look at all the stories coming out of the SEC that the best SEC team will beat the worst NFL team. So now all of a sudden you're going to say the NFL can play, but the SEC and all the money they make can't? It's going to be interesting. Are there small conferences, big ones? Is it Division I? Is it Division II? Can you play Division III ball because it's smaller venues, lack of people in stadiums? There's a lot of things to think about across the board college-wise.
You don't really believe the best college team could beat the worst NFL team, do you, Zoe?
I don't, but that's a debate that happens all the time. We do this every year. Well, Alabama beat the Detroit Lions. We do this all the time.
Yeah, we're saving that for no. 3 days next week. We're going to have that topic.
Okay. 617-779-0985, the phone number. Your thoughts on the possibility of the season coming back? Okay, and we'll get to Zoe's question on the other side. There's also a new travel restriction in the city of Boston. We'll touch on that, too, all of it next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, so if the NFL is playing 5 days a week, you in on that, Zoe? You
no.
like that?
No, I don't. I like the NFL mostly as a Sunday product. I know we got our Monday night game, our Thursday night game. Sunday night football is big now. I like it Sunday. But if people are used to having football on Friday nights with high school and you kind of get your college fix on Saturdays, and that gives you your football window there, that spreads it out too thin for me. I mean, 5 days of watching football.
It's I'm enough. With you.
I can cram it in on Sunday.
I don't need to see every game.
I'd rather have my Sunday Saturdays off. Right.
I want to make sure I could see Tom Brady play every weekend. I want to make sure
that's going to happen. Yeah.
This would be easier for me to be able to see all the Tampa Bay Bucs games that I want to watch this year. But in general, Thursday night football blows. I don't enjoy Thursday night football.
I don't either.
Most of the time, I mean, last year's Monday night slate was actually better than most years.
They lucked out.
It was a good year. It was a good year on Monday night football, so we lucked out on Monday night. But most seasons, Monday night stinks, although they are going to make efforts to continue to have good scheduled games on Monday nights. But, we got to do this Friday night? I would actually be in favor of moving the Thursday night game to Friday, though. I like that. I'm a big fan of that. But now all day Saturday, too? I don't know. I don't know that that's awesome the way you think it would. Like, you hear it and you're like, oh, my God, NFL football all the time. Yes, that's great.
And so what like, now, too?
Yeah, I mean, but is it?
The union's going to bitch. Players are going to bitch because now all of a sudden, what are you, making us play on 2 short weeks now? Throughout the course of a season? I mean, if you're going to
multiple short weeks.
Multiple short weeks.
This not doesn't exist in a vacuum. You know, we're looking at it from like one problem of one league and one team. Well, how are these guys going to play all 16 or 17 games and how are they going to get it in this season? Well, don't forget about like all the other stuff that people are eager to get back to in their lives too. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, what they normally do on Saturdays and you know, just regular sports, regular jobs, everything else that people do that they have been forced out of doing now for a while. And when the NFL comes back, yeah, I'm sure they would love to just take over every single night of the week. But other people have other stuff that they want to do, too. And it's not going to – this is, you know, going to come as a shock to the NFL. But if they, you know, try and own the schedule or they just rework their entire schedule to make it beneficial to them – that people aren't going to be able to go along and follow them on every afternoon they want to play or every night they want to play because there's a bunch of other stuff that's been put on hold that people need to get back to.
So you had a question. What was your question from before?
Over the weekend, I know your kids like to use you sometimes. As you have three of them, you like to have kids like to use you as a jungle gym. Did they rip your arms off over the weekend?
Yeah. Jim told me this. It's hard to see my arms.
Your arms are
today.
Disappearing on TV.
Yeah, because it's the same color shirt as the backdrop.
Put your hands up.
Oh, there they
hold
are.
On. Ready? Hold on. Hold on. I'll make it look like.
Oh!
I got a little nervous, Hardy. I got a little nervous. I'm like, you know, something happened to his hands over the weekend, his arms. You get so excited, rip your face off.
Yeah, Jim told me that. He's like, it looks like you have no arms today. The arms are a different color than the rest of the shirt.
That was my question.
Okay. Mayor Walsh last night announced a new restriction here in Boston. Here's the mayor.
We're strengthening the stay-at-home advisory by adding recommended curfew for at least the next 3 weeks in Boston. The Boston Public Health Commission is issuing a public health advisory recommending that people stay inside between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m. starting tomorrow morning. It applies to everyone except essential workers. That gives people a clear guideline to help them plan their day, make good choices, and avoid crowded situations. We have seen too many unnecessary trips in the evening and social distancing problems as people order and wait for takeout in takeout restaurants. If you're getting food from a restaurant after 9 p.m., we ask you to use the delivery services as much as possible.
Okay, so now it's 9 p.m. onward until 6 a.m. the next day. It's an advisory. I guess it's not mandatory, but that's what it is. My question would be, and by the way, I'm all for more restrictions the better. Great. Love it. Did they need this? Did they feel there were people out there?
Obviously.
Just floating around.
How many morons did we see have them congregating to the point where they had to close Castle Island, right? Where they had to put orange barriers up. You can't get there now because people just go out there, hang out, order clams, and sit around and talk.
Right.
If they're doing that during the day, imagine what they're doing at night with, say, liquor, and you have no school tomorrow, no work. You know, we have no direction. We have our stupidity of our youth and their invincibility. I think obviously someone's been driving around at night and they said, well, why are there eight kids over here on a stoop? Or why is there eight kids playing basketball? Or, you know, why are they hanging out outside a street corner? You know, now if you could just get people to think, and even just if 15% of those people that hear this, hear the mayor last night say, oh, crap, I can't go out. I don't want to get slapped with some fine or something, you know, or have me get written up. Yeah. What good is going to happen with these kids congregating at night or anybody at night? And that's nothing. So why not put it on there? I agree with it. Let's get past this.
Well, to me, it probably accomplishes a couple of things. Like Mayor Walsh said, number one, far too many people still congregating at night. And this could conceivably cut down on that. And, you know, what have we been talking about throughout this whole thing? It's the younger people. It's the people who feel immune to it. It's like Myron Roll was talking about. You know, like student athletes even, you know, guys who think they're invincible and they, you know, for for a good reason, you know, they are in the, you know, peak of their physical conditioning. They're not going to get this thing. Yeah. And so it's younger people who are still going out, they're bored. And once you've been quarantined all day and you've been on lockdown at night, screw it. Let's get together with a few of us. So it could hopefully, you know, take that down a little bit. But also, you know, if you don't have people out traveling at night, unless you're part of some essential service, then I could see where that would also cut down on the need for certain services, and whether it's police or whether it's medical. You know, how many car accidents take place at night that they could hopefully cut down on by just having people not allowed to be out and driving on the city streets, right, at least within the city of Boston, for a period of those 9 hours. And Beetle, I understand it doesn't make a lot of sense. You either do it or you don't, and these half measures, it feels like it's more of that. But at least it's something. And it's something at a time of day when more people seem to be ignoring this social distancing order than at other times. So, you know, we were joking about it. It's like, what, a curfew between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m.? I've been doing that for 10 years. Great. Not going to affect me, and I'm not even in the city limits. And for older people, it probably doesn't affect them. But it's for the younger people to keep them from not leaving the house and going out and meeting up with other people.
Hardy, I say we start locking them up.
Yeah. I mean, it's easier than the cops at night. Is it up to the cops to ride around and bust up groups?
I say, you know, we lock them up and say, we'll let you out when the courts reopen. You can go in front of the judge and ask for bail when the courts reopen.
First Tuesday after normalcy, right?
Yeah, we'll see you in 8 weeks. We'll see you in 8 weeks, jackass.
we have some rescheduled sporting events. This is just now breaking. This is just coming across.
Breaking news, Hardy. Breaking news, Sounder.
Want to do breaking news?
Yeah, I want to do breaking news.
Let's do breaking news.
Breaking news, Jim. Fire it up. And we will not read that story until you do.
Jim doesn't even know what a button is anymore.
Breaking news.
It's probably worn out.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now, it looks like this is an official announcement that Jason Sobel is capturing in his tweet. Jason Sobel, formerly of ESPN, now with the Action Network. The U.S. Open for golf has been rescheduled to September 17th through the 20th.
Nice.
The British Open has been canceled. That news came down a little while ago. The next British Open will be contested next year at Royal St. George's. The PGA Championship, which we had heard earlier was canceled, is now going to take place August 6th through the 9th. Ryder Cup still on for September 25th and the 27th. And here's the big one, Masters rescheduled November 12th through the 15th.
That's interesting.
Wow. November Masters.
Hardy, can I also add another one to that? It's actually probably a bigger announcement than that. It's the same as the golf. Golf Digest says the tour will begin mid-June with no fans. So they're going to resume playing mid-June with no fans at the Memorial.
Okay.
I actually don't think that's a big deal that golf plays without fans, because they all need to be quiet anyway when the play is actually happening.
Right.
Do you know how much more I'm going to enjoy it without the
get in the hole?
Oh, yeah, the bros out there yelling, mashed potatoes, get in the hole. And I'm no stickler. I don't care. Yell whatever you want. It's like the same guy who thinks he's funny.
You've also seen PGA events. You've been to PGA events, Hardy. Yeah. Sometimes you're at a tee box where there's like 12 people there. Like, there's not a lot of fans. You know?
Right.
I mean, that exists. Not every group looks like the group that follows Tiger all day. So it's fine. Golf will be just fine without fans. In fact, we're all going to like it a little bit more. You watch. We're going to enjoy this.
We need to fix something back in studio where Jim and T-Bone are. T-Bone, you need to shut that blind, because you look like that Jesus figure. Because the light behind you is so bright, like at the end of when you start saying things like, take me home, Weezy, it's the big one. And it looks like Tom looks like some angelic figure in front of the light.
He looks like Scott Stapp
from a Creed video. He looks like a ghoul there. You know what? Leave the blind up. I kind of dig it now.
The one thing that I'm trying to figure out right now is what this could mean. You guys remember the Deutsche Bank Championship and the Dell Technologies Championship, which is, went away last year. So it looks like there is an update for the 2020 Northern Trust, which was supposed to come back in this year. I'm gonna get the information on this and how it's affected by the rescheduling of all these other PGA Tour events and some of the other championships like the U.S. Open and the Masters. So let me see if I can get an answer on that. But I'll have all the other dates for the resumption of professional golf here in the update.
All right, 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. We'll get back at it in 90 seconds after the update. Some actual talk about one of the teams in town. That would be the Patriots and one of their players, quarterback Jarrett Stidham. A big talking head at the Four Letter Network has something to say about where Jarrett Stidham stands in New England. We'll get to that coming up right after the headlines.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.